Yes, they must. They think we are dumb. And look, anything that comes out of Spice Boy's mouth or Propaganda Barbie's mouth, you know is going to be total BS. Breaking news, evidently, since this is the new world we live in. Breaking news, the Washington Post. They have given the statement by Donald Trump, the big tweet, because evidently now we're doing everything by tweet. Yesterday, on the 8th, Donald tweeted out, "My daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom's. She is a great person, always pushing me to do the right thing. Terrible." I'm not sure which is terrible, the Nordstrom thing or him doing the right thing. Not sure. But the Washington Post, and thank goodness for them, they have fact-checked the claims that she's being treated, quote, so unfairly. And they found 4 Pinocchios. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we've spent time wasted on that. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the mainstream media and, you know, Spice Boy and Propaganda Barbie and the whole clan. I've asked Eric Bollert to come talk with us. He's a senior fellow over at Media Matters for America. Eric, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Four Pinocchios, Eric. 4.
Yeah, I saw a headline the other just in the last 24 hours. I don't know if it was the Washington Post or PolitiFact or one of the others. 5% of Trump's statements so far that have been fact-checked have been mostly or true. 15% if you kind of give him a little more wiggle room to mostly true. I mean, you know, he's a pathological liar. He showed that during the campaign. And what's interesting, you know, for politics and the DC media, right? If a politician was caught in a lie, that was a big deal, right? And it would, you know, then the politician's team would have to explain why the person lied. And for the press, it was always, you know, why did the person tell the lie, right? What was the motivation? What's the upside? What's the downside? And the whole idea is that if you're going to tell a lie, you know, there must be a lot at stake. There must be some sort of Machiavellian motivation. You know, Trump has just gotten rid of all that. He will lie. A pathological liar doesn't need motivation, will lie about big things, small things, trivial things. And frankly, you know, the press hasn't really adjusted, right? They still won't call him, you know, a liar. This week, many times he talked about how the crime rate was at a 45-year high, right? Everyone on the planet knows that's not true. There's a mountain of data to back that up. So this kind of dopey debate that some people in the press were having, well, we can't call him a liar because we don't know if he doesn't know what he's saying isn't true. We don't know what his mental state. We don't know his motivation. You know, this is a perfect example. Everyone knows he's lying about this data, and the press is still way too reluctant to call him out. They certainly won't talk about the fact that he lies basically every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, as my grandfather would say, the guy would lie when the truth would be better.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And again, that, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, psychoanalysis or diagnose the guy. But look, that is a telltale trait of you know, basically a pathological liar, someone who cannot distinguish truth from reality and will lie about even the most trivial matters. You know, he doesn't plot them out. He doesn't care if he gets caught, et cetera, et cetera. And the press is still kind of trapped in this mentality that, you know, it's really mean to call, a politician a liar, and certainly, you know, you can't call the president of the United States a liar, and B, they still don't understand, they still think it's a remarkable or extraordinary event when a politician tells a lie. So, you know, we're 3 weeks into this, I think the press is still trying to get their head and their hands around everything.
Right.
But look, the guy is giving you proof every single day. This is who he is. He's not going to change. But the press certainly, I think, needs to change the way they cover him.
I agree. And at some point, you have to call him what he is. I mean, yep. When a lie is a lie, it's a lie. It's not alternative facts. It's not,
right,
you know, alternative realities. It's none of this stuff. It's flat out wrong. And you know, I got to give Trump credit. I mean, he's started this war with the media for when they call him on his nonsense. He can just say, look, they don't like me and they're being mean to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is the classic, you're right, he's sort of taken this classic Republican playbook and injected it on steroids, right? It goes back to Spiro Agnew in the 60s, right? You know, the liberal media is out to get us. They won't tell you the truth. There's been an attempt, you know, for 40 or 50 years to delegitimize the press for exactly the reason you say. So therefore, when they, you know, when there's a big scoop or there's a, you know, they call the Republicans out, they can say, well, I mean, they're just being biased. It was always on the fringes, right? Republicans and conservative movement have always kind of been attacking the press on the fringes, working the refs, right? That's that was the way, the common way to describe it for decades. You know, you complain, you whine, and so the next time maybe you'll get the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you'll get the call. Trump is just, and the Breitbart and alt-right media and Alex Jones, they are truly trying to just eviscerate the Fourth Estate. They're trying to destroy the Fourth Estate. You know, this is what authoritarians do. They try to not work the refs or nibble on the edges. They just want to obliterate it. Therefore, they can just steamroll their way forward.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's what bothers me. While we're talking about the hand towels not soft enough on Air Force One, and we're talking about Kelly Conway's, aversion to telling the truth, we're talking about Ivanka's, you know, bargain basement deals at Marshall's and all this other stuff. The Republicans are repealing the 20th century. They are doing some really ugly stuff. And again, you know, while we're talking about four Pinocchios on something they investigated, we're not looking at the stuff that I think is really important. And that's all the stuff going on outside of the shiny thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I don't know if it's this, you know, elaborate, sophisticated plan they came up with and they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, or it's just a byproduct of them being kind of, off, you know, untethered from reality. But it's true. I mean, you know, I spend all, you know, my day consuming this stuff, and I'm on Twitter. And yes, you're absolutely right. Yesterday, you know, Ivanka was the story. Kelly Conway was the story. Then, of course, you know, the Ninth Court ruling. But then, you know, I opened the newspaper today, and you're right. You know, there are raids in L.A. These people are being rounded up and put in police cars and heading to the border. I mean, families are being torn apart. You know, they're lying about their tax policy. The new EPA chief is going to get a vote. The head of the Labor Department was apparently, you know, it was paying people under the table. I mean, you're right. On a policy by policy, they are absolutely trying to roll back the New Deal and roll back any progress from the last century. But I don't know how frankly, the answer is you got to do both. But yes, they are trying to overwhelm everyone's senses. They are trying to send so much stuff over the transom that people can't focus. But, you know, there are signs of success. Obviously, the court, four judges have heard this, the travel ban. All four judges so far have said no. Two of them are appointed by Republicans. Two of them are appointed by Democrats. You know, you saw Chavez have a town hall meeting in Utah yesterday.
Yep.
He was booed for 2 hours by 1,000 people. This is a state that voted 70% Republican. So, I mean, the good news is we do see signs of victory. The resistance is working on certain levels, but you're right. I mean, they are trying to not undo the Obama agenda. They're trying to undo 80 years worth of progress.
Yeah, as I said, repeal the 20th century. But here's the thing that bothers me. What I learned from Wisconsin and what friends who were, you know, active in the fights in Wisconsin from 2011 forward. You had all this energy like we're seeing now and a constant onslaught of attack in messaging by Walker and the front groups there where people just got really fatigued and, you know, drinking from the fire hose every day just made a lot of people go, you know what, I'm dropping out. And my fear is that that's the plan here.
Oh, I look, that's a great point. I mean, people were heartened by, you know, seeing that the Madison Capitol filled with protesters and the singing and the chanting, and in the end, you know, to be honest, it didn't prevail. You know, there were enough people in Wisconsin who said, either kind of just shrugged their shoulders, they didn't care what Walker was trying to do, or fatigue set in. But yeah, no, it's definitely a concern. I guess I would say on the flip side, Trump isn't just trying to do right to work, as we've been saying. Literally any issue that a Democrat or progressive has cared about in the last 50 years, he's trying to undo. So my point is, there might be more energy. It might be more sustained because I think people feel like there isn't a plan B. It can't be like, okay, we'll give him the EPA chief and he's going to destroy our environment and everything else will be fine. Everything else won't be fine. He wants to take it all down. So, it's very funny. David Brooks in the Times kind of had a column today saying, it didn't have to be this way. Trump could have been a different president. If you watched the campaign, you were living a fantasy if you didn't think that candidate was going to act the same way as president. But having said that, Trump wins this surprise victory. He has this celebrity TV reality star status. He could have lulled this country to sleep, right? He absolutely could have transformed American politics, I think, and just sort of become a Reagan-type figure, a communicator in this century, rewritten the politics in a conservative manner. And I really do think he could have kind of lulled this country into passivity. But they've decided to do the opposite, right? They've decided to spark, essentially try to spark a civil war almost every day. And I don't know if they thought, voters would just kind of lay down. I don't know if they thought Democrats were completely, beaten down from the election. But they've decided they want to have this showdown. And right now, yes, they have some victories, but boy, the losses pile up on a daily basis, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the King Donald. I'm waiting to see him completely crack up because I'm of the mindset that he's a guy who's never been told no.
Right.
And the more that he's told no, the more he will go into his Twitter tantrums, the more we'll see the unraveling. And none of it's good for the country, but
right.
as long as you're going to hell in a handbag, it might as well at least be somewhat mildly entertaining.
Yeah, no, I think he's been surrounded by sycophants, certainly for the last 30 years, 40 years of his business. He was surrounded by them during the campaign. There was a report today that, he's surprised how hard it is to run the government. He's surprised basically the federal government doesn't run itself. We talked about him being a pathological liar. He's also just wildly insecure. I mean, it's his defining trait, and those two traits put together for someone in the Oval Office is just a recipe for disaster. So, yeah, he watches Kate. He's all alone rattling around in the Oval Office. His wife won't even move in. He has no friends. He hasn't had friends in 40 years. He watches cable TV and kind of fumes. I mean, if you go back to Nixon, there were portraits of him kind of wandering the West Wing during Watergate and kind of slowly going mad. And, I think Trump's doing that in 3 weeks. He's extremely antisocial. He's extremely insecure. It's the worst possible, kind of personality recipe for someone to be president. And he's in completely over his head. He doesn't understand how the court works. He doesn't understand how laws work. We've certainly got indications he didn't even basically read some of these executive orders before he ever signed them. But I'm not surprised, but I guess a lot of people are. A lot of people didn't think he was going to build a wall who voted for him. A lot of people didn't think he would really try to repeal Obamacare because they voted for him. But the sad part is he advertised all this, and for whatever reason, people were willing to look away.
Maybe it's because we're used to campaign promises not being kept. So when one guy finally says, I'm going to do all the horrible things I told you I'm going to do, and you're going to suffer from it. So last question I've got for you. How do we wade through the distraction? How does the average person look? You're going to have political junkies who are going to stay involved in this. But the average person who's got to get up and go to work every day and stay on the treadmill, how do they wade through this nonsense?
It's brutal. brutal, right? And we haven't even talked about the whole fake news phenomena, right? It's very difficult, I think, for just average news consumers to try to figure out what's going on and not to get kind of swept up in the propaganda. And look, that's what a lot of this is. This is classic propaganda. Yesterday, he signed some executive order. He's going to have, you know, for you know, pro-crime. And the New York Times pointed out there was basically not a specific policy issue in the entire executive order. So it's all propaganda. But look, you know, I for the average consumer, you know, just try to stay away from fake news. Look critically at the news. And frankly, I think a lot of this is common sense. You know, Americans have always had, you know, a lot of common sense. And I think there's basic buyer's remorse already. And people can understand if you try to ban people from this country and every, you know, you lose every court case, it probably wasn't a good idea.
No.
And people understand that, you know, that's not what the American Idol, you know, was built on and things like that.
Now, I'm of the mindset anything coming out of Sean Spicer or out of Kellyanne Conway's mouth, probably nowhere even near the truth, let alone accurate.
Yeah, and generally, you know, these are just, you know, in a kind of very simple communication way, these are all very unlikable people, right? Sean Spicer is extremely unlikable. Kellyanne Conway, very unlikable. Having said that, I understand Trump won the campaign and had high disapprovals. I just think in the long term, most people are just going to be turned off by this stuff. And really, the incompetence, I think, is going to be their basic underdoing. You know, people like to complain about the government, but in the end of the day, they want it to function, and I don't think these people are going to be able to get the government to function in any coherent way.
And that's the thing that bothers me and scares me. While it's all fun, and games, and we get the, you know, have the ha-has, it's still real people are going to be harmed by this.
Yeah.
Eric, I appreciate the time. It was great talking with you.
All right, have a good week.
Good talking with you, Eric Bollard, senior fellow there at Media Matters for America. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.